Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Thanks, Heath, for the scripture reading. Really cool text. Like we talked about last week, your presence here is important. Just being here is a big deal. Being together as a community is important. But there's a part where it's like, hey, the church actually needs more than you to just show up and sit in a pew. And we're going to speak to that this morning. We're going to speak to what you can give to the church, how you can plug in and serve the church. This analogy that Paul uses, this one body, many parts, he uses it more than once. You see it in Romans, and he also uses it, he uses the same analogy in 1 Corinthians. Obviously, this was a theme that was really important to him, something that he felt multiple churches needed to hear this analogy. And he's pointing out that everybody has a role to play. Everyone has a gift. Everyone can contribute in some way. And when you don't contribute, the church suffers. The church needs you. Both times he uses the analogy, though, he also tells people, don't get a big head. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. And it's really, he kind of makes it more clear. He unpacks it more in 1 Corinthians. But you could see how people thought their giftedness might make them more important than others. Some people probably thought, my gifts are a little more important than your gifts, and I should have a little bit more recognition because of that. And Paul is kind of pushing back on that idea. And it might be kind of hard to accept, because something kind of reading between the lines that I hear here is he's saying, well, the church, you are needed. You are needed. But God's mission is going to go on with or without you. It's better with you. It's better if you do. It's better if you're a part. It's better if you're giving to the church. It's better if you're using your gifts here. But you kind of got to hold that intention with the fact that it's going to go on with or without you. You are needed, but you are not integral. So don't get too big of a head. Don't think your giftedness makes you more important than other people. But then on the other side of that, don't think you aren't gifted. I think that's something that people think a lot. Don't think that what you have to offer doesn't matter. Steve prayed about that last week, that we don't believe that lie. That I really appreciated him bringing that up and praying over that, is that some people think, well, I have nothing to offer the church. Then the other, Steve Templeton, brought it up in class. Hey, everybody, he said, hey, a lot of people think they don't have gifts. Everybody can be hospitable. Everybody can be warm. Everybody can serve in that way. Scripture, though, yeah, I see it saying, we read a list of a few gifts up here. It's not an exhaustive list. There's a lot of different ways you are gifted that you can serve the church. It's interesting to think about the things you are best at and ask yourself, is this giftedness or is it like a skill? Is this something that I have that comes natural to me, or is this something that I've worked on and fine-tuned? You know, which is it? Is this something I put on the time and the training, or it just kind of happens? Sometimes I think, not a hard and fast rule, but sometimes it seems like musical ability is that way. It seems like some people just got it, and some people don't. You can only work on it so much. Some people just do not have rhythm, right? And there's nothing you can do about it. I remember a professor talking about some of the Bible professors at ACU, and he kind of said one of them, he's just a brilliant freak. He just has it. His mind works on another level. And then another one of the guys who's known for their brilliance, he said, that one's hard work. He's a smart guy, but he's just studying and working hard all the time. So we have a lot of cross-country runners in here. A lot of, if not currently doing cross-country, former cross-country runners. Some of the parents in here, a lot of the adults were cross-country runners. And that's one of those things where I feel like that can kind of be both. With some people, it is hard work. They are putting in the time. They are constantly. And then there are others who just kind of like show up and they're like, whoops, I got a medal. Huh. You know, without putting in the work. And I don't want to cheapen that because I think a lot of people, they still put in the work. I know a kid that wins a lot of the races my kids ran into. While my kids were out running, they ran into that kid. So some of it is hard work. People are putting in the time. My mic is, I'm just going to use this one. I don't want to cheapen it and say, well, some people just naturally got it and they don't put in any work. But I think on the other side of that, we want to be careful because sometimes when we think, I put in all the work, I earned this, this is totally mine, we need to acknowledge that even when we put in the work and earn and have the skills, somewhere in there, even that is a grace. Even that is a gift. So it doesn't matter if you think whatever you have is a natural gift or it's something you worked from hard work and dedication, something you earned. Both are still a grace from God. God set up your mind and the environment that you have for you to be able to put in the hard work and dedication to have whatever gift or skill you had. Either way, it is from God. And I think when you think of your talents and your gifts and your skills as a gift and a blessing from God, one, it's just a healthier mindset, right? But two, maybe it will make you more inclined to use those gifts, skills, and talents for God. If I realize this is from God, God has given this to me, it's not something that I've just earned because I'm so great, it's something God has given to me, I want to use that to bless God and bless his people. And so really what Paul is saying here, it seems really obvious. If your gift is encouragement, then encourage. If it's giving, give. If it's teaching, teach. Well, yeah, duh, Paul, of course. But then on the other side of that, maybe he does actually need to tell us that. Maybe there are actually people who have these gifts and aren't using them. They have these gifts and aren't using them to serve the church. One of those things that was said about our sweet Dorothy Emerson, who passed recently, she said, this was a quote, "If I teach for the public throughout the week, I should teach for the Lord on Sunday." I like that mindset. If she has the gift of teaching and she's using it in public schools, well, I should use that at church as well. I think by the time she got to Westgate, she had retired from that, but I know she invested in a lot of kids in her home church in I think it was Missouri, but she had that gift, and so she used it for the church. I wonder if Westgate has some untapped potential in here. I wonder if Westgate has people with great gifts and abilities and skills that aren't being used here. I wonder if people could be blessing this church and blessing our community, and for whatever reason, they're not using those gifts here. They're not doing that here. And so as silly as it seems for Paul to say, well, if it's teach, teach. No, seriously, if it's teach, maybe some people have gifts that they just aren't using, and you need to be told, hey, you should be using those gifts here with this community. And some of that is on individuals. Some of that is on individuals for not stepping up and using those things, using their gifts and talents. Some of it is on leadership. Some of it is on leadership for not providing the right space and opportunity for you to use those gifts and talents and abilities. But I hope that's something we can work on, is that we as Westgate can tap into our gifts, tap into some of our untapped potential, and use that here to bless this congregation and to bless others. So a couple of roles of Westgate members, right? At least that I want us to talk through today, as we've talked about those two last week. Another one is buy-in. A lot of churches, whenever you place membership or when they talk about being a member, They'll talk about giving or tithing. I mean, that's part of your membership, is you give or tithe. That usually comes up. I would say generally in my experience and all the churches I've worked at and the churches I've grown up on, we haven't placed a really big emphasis on that. We talk about giving, maybe in our tradition, we talk about giving a little bit less than other churches. And on one side, that's good, you know, because we don't want to like be money grubbers. We don't want to look like money grubbers. On the other side of that, Jesus sure did talk a lot about money and our attachment to money. Our attachment to money can be a spiritual issue, right? So it is something good to address. As I mentioned last week, and I keep mentioning, church leaders are afraid, not speaking for all of them, but there's a general fear of, like, we don't want to look tyrannical. We don't want to look abusive or controlling, like telling what to do and saying, give us your money. You know, we don't want to do that. I'm pretty hesitant to talk about money at all in front of the church, even though it's a repeat theme in Scripture, even though Jesus talks about it a lot. But I want you to know, like, as a church and the leadership here, when it comes to people giving, when it comes to people, when we pass the plate, it's not something that's like being policed, okay? It's not something that no one is going to say to you, oh, well, we noticed you haven't given in a while. No one's really keeping score of that. No one's going to harass you about that. But I think something that I think is really healthy is I've never sat in an elders meeting here, never sat with the leadership where they say, well, you know, so-and-so is a big giver, so we need to do what they say. So we need to listen to them. That doesn't happen. There's not some favoritism about wealth here. And on the other side of that, whoever the big givers are, they must not be trying to throw their weight around a whole lot. And so we appreciate that too, that people are just giving without strings attached. So I think there is a healthy relationship generally with money and the leadership here. And so I would say giving is part of membership. But I like the term buy-in, which can be more than just giving money, right? Buy-in. I like to think of members. If you're a member here, you have some care about what goes on here. Maybe you think a little bit about what goes on here as a representation of yourself, because you have some ownership in what goes on here. It's not your church. You know, I think it can be an unhealthy mindset to think like, this is my church. But in some way, to have some ownership is healthy. Feeling a sense of a connection here. Every now and then I'll see someone like post on social media something about church. Hey, look at this great thing that happened in our church. Hey, I love my church and here's why. I think that's great. I see people wanting to bring friends here. That's taking some ownership. That's saying, hey, this is a place that I like. This is my community, and I would love for you to come and be a part of that. That's taking ownership. That's good. That's buy-in. It's wanting, to, and of course, it's more than just buy-in for the church when you bring friends, but I think that's part of it. On the other side of it, and maybe you guys shouldn't all feel this, but if something like bad happens or something weird happens, I'm like, ooh, I don't like that look for our church. I remember several months ago, our lawn guy was way backed up, and you know, we had like 3 foot tall grass out here. And I'm embarrassed by that stuff because I feel a sense of ownership there. And so I think stuff like that is healthy. I want you to have some buy-in to this church. And so I want you to think, in what ways do you have buy-in with Westgate? In what ways do you really feel like a part and an investment in it? That this is some sense of ownership of this. I think that's healthy. And then the next one I want to talk about is, and I've been implying this, is serving somewhere. Sitting and talking with one of the new members was very encouraging to me because they started listing where they wanted to serve and how they could serve and what their gifts were. And I could see with that there was a safe and good assumption that that's what membership means to them. If I'm going to become a member here, then I got a job to play. I have a role to play here, and I'm going to be involved somewhere. And I like that. And there are areas of service here at Westgate that you really can't participate in unless you're a member. You know what I mean? That's the case everywhere, but there are some things where we're not going to knight you to do certain things unless you are a member. And so there are formal and informal ways to serve here. Formally, you can teach a class. We're not going to let a non-member teach a class. You can work in the nursery. You can serve in the worship service. We got a new member serving in the worship service today. That's great. You can volunteer with the youth ministry. You can work in the sound room. You can serve during Love Grubs. Keep the blessing box stocked out here. You can serve on a committee. There's a lot of, and those are ways, though, that you kind of need to be knighted. You know, you kind of need to be given permission. You got to, because we want to vet some of those things, right? And so part of membership is vetting that. And I will say this. We do background checks on anybody who's going to work with our kids. And that is it's an insurance requirement. I know sometimes doing stuff like that can feel kind of lame. It can feel kind of impersonal, right? But I think there's also something important to that. You know, that's just one step we want to take to protect our kids. And so, and that's not the, you know, that doesn't mean nothing bad will happen. We've background checked them. We don't have that mindset. But that is important that you know that is part of the process. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I need to recant. I was wrong last week. I gave some fake news. And I was told about it by 4 different people. We do give new members. I said we don't give pies anymore, and we do give new members at least some kind of dessert. Okay, there is a committee of ladies that do that, and so to those people who have participated in this, in giving desserts to new members, I really am sorry from the bottom of my heart. I know, and nobody was mean about it, but I know I feel bad because I know. I know those of you doing that, you don't serve to get credit. You're not doing that so everybody sees what a good Christian you are, how involved you are, whatever. You're just doing it because you want to bless people. But I am sorry for like acting like that's a thing that's not happening. I think I don't want to discourage anybody in any ways they're serving. And so that is happening. I can see how that would be frustrating to act like it's not happening when it is. So thank you for doing that. Thank you to those of you who have been blessing new members in that way and serving behind the scenes. Before I get there, let me say this. When it comes to formal ways to serve, things that you got to get permission for, things that you might need to be a member for, is one, again, that's on the church leadership. It's on the church leadership to make sure that new members have space to serve like that, but it's also on longtime members. It is on longtime members to make sure they are making space for new people to serve. To make sure, because sometimes we kind of get a job and we hold on to it with an iron fist and we say, this is my job now and I like this. But we're going to need to realize, especially with Willis members coming over, there may be people with similar gifts. There may be people who want to serve in similar ways. And we might need to be able to let go just a little bit to make space for those people to be able to serve. Make space for people who have the same passion and giftedness that we do to serve in that way. We need to make room. And also, we need to make sure that whenever we get new members, or especially Willis people, that we're not like, we're going to give you the bad job nobody wants. We don't want to do that. We need to take on those bad jobs and give them some good jobs, okay? But there are other informal ways to serve that you don't need to be knighted for, that you don't need to be given permission for, that you don't need to be vetted for. And that is, you know, being hospitable to guests. Man, that goes a long way. Just being friendly to unfamiliar faces that come in here. That is huge. And that is, I mean, to me, that's a source of pride for Westgate. I think we're pretty good. There's other churches in town that say, we're the most friendly church in town. That's bold, man. Have you been to every church in town? You don't know that. But I'm going to just say, like, Westgate, we got to be top 10. We got to be up there, okay? That's a great informal way to serve. Checking in on people when they're sick. Sending encouraging cards, being that glue person who gathers people. That's huge. That's really important, getting people together. Thinking about the church and what we need, seeing needs in this congregation and meeting them. And so I want you to think, how are you serving the church? Are you using your gifts outside the church, but not for the church? Do you have some untapped potential? Is there something you think Westgate should be doing or offering that we aren't, that you could actually participate in? We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. That's not saying we're going to do every single thing and be everything to everybody, but hey, if there's untapped potential in here, if there's something we should be doing, I hope we can be doing it. It is best to have the mindset as a member to not come in here asking what your church can do for you, but to ask what you can do for your church. We don't want to have that consumer mindset. But I also do want you to know, this is a group of people. that want to bless you. Westgate wants to commit to you as well. We want to be a place of welcome. We want to be a place of integration. We believe that by being a member here, there's a lot of ways to serve, but there will also be a lot of ways you will be blessed by being part of this faith community. And I think I can just very say honestly for myself, I've been very blessed and very changed and become a better person because of you guys, because of this faith community. And I hope for a lot of I believe a lot of our members could say the same. This morning, we want to invite you, first and foremost, to be a member of the universal body of Christ through baptism. If that's something you want to do, we'll offer an invitation for that. And then, of course, there is this, hey, once you become a member of the universal body of Christ, to plant spiritual roots somewhere is important too. And we won't make you come up to do that. You can talk to me, you can call the office, you can fill out the little binder. There's a lot of ways to do that as well. But this morning, your church family is here. If you want to give your life to Christ or you have any other need, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.